Alice Vaz asked mostly wider questions. The others debated rifle stocks made of composite materials, which wouldn't shrink or swell no matter the conditions, and she asked about the conditions. Where in the world was this rifle likely to go? How hot? How cold? How high? How wet? She didn't get clear answers, and after a spell she gave up. There were no AV attributions in the last 20 pages of the transcript. Christopher asked, "Gut feeling?" Reacher said, "Just from this." "Why not?" "Then I would say it's Christine Richardson. She sounds like the prime mover. She wants everything spelled out every which way. No secrets with that woman." "I could say she's trying to sell it. I could say she thinks the political guys will find that stuff interesting." "No, she knows they don't. But she keeps on talking anyway. She won't let them leave anything vague or unspecified. Why is that?"
"Maybe she has OCD.
"What's that?"
"Obsessive compulsive disorder. Like, alphabetizing your underwear."
"How do you alphabetize underwear?"
"Figure speech."
"So you're happy with Richardson?"
"Nope," Christopher said. "We think it's her, too. From the externalities in the transcripts, at least. The issue is going to be proving it."
The woman with the fanny pack and the headband was on Mass Ave, approaching Scott's Circle, and the man in the car was on 16th Street, approaching Scott's Circle. Their average speeds for the last many minutes had been more or less identical, at 10 miles an hour. Her progress steady and resolute and relentless. His frustratingly stop, start, fast, fast, slow. She was pushing hard, ready for an iconic athletic breakthrough, desperate for it. And he was agitated about the time, anxious about being late, wishing he could have parked and taken the metro without getting back at the end of the day to find all his wheels had been stolen. It happened like this. She was on the left-hand sidewalk, on Mass Ave, and he was at right angles to her, in 16th Street's extreme right lane, wanting to come off into the circle. She was looking straight ahead, watching the traffic, watching the upcoming crosswalk lights, trying to time it, suddenly convinced that if she got held up there, her bid was over. He was looking beyond the three cars ahead, to the far left, diametrically away from her, watching the traffic coming into the circle, which would have prior right of way. He was looking for an upcoming gap, trying to time it, hoping to roll up to the line and squirt on through, one unbroken move. She sprinted, hard, 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 and he moved up, craning left, looking for the gap that would be his, seeing half a gap, rolling, rolling, the cars ahead of him clearing, the gap tightening, not really a gap at all, but his last chance, so he went for it, hitting the gas, wrenching the wheel, smashing into her. As she sprinted into the space, she had been sure would remain, because surely no driver would try to use it. She went up in the air and down on his windshield rail. Impossibly loud metallic thumps and crashes, and he braked hard, and she spun on the shiny roof and clattered over the inclined tailgate and landed head first on the blacktop. Reacher butted all the paperwork into a neat stack and put it back on Christopher's desk. Christopher said,
"Almost time to get down to business. Do you know the committee room number?"
Reacher said, "Yes."
"Do you know where it is?"
"No."
"Good. I'm not going to tell you. I want you wandering around like a little lost country boy. I want everything about this thing to be realistic from the get-go."
"Nothing about this thing is realistic, and nothing about this thing is going to work."
"Look on the bright side. You might get lucky. One of them might be into rough trade." "All on the Army's dime, too."
Reacher said nothing. He used the door on F Street and turned right and left onto New Jersey Avenue, and then the Capitol building was right there in front of him, half a mile ahead, big and white and shining in the sun. He looped around into the plaza and went up the steps. A Capitol cop looked at his ID and gave him a barrage of directions so confusing that Reacher knew he would need a couple of refreshers along the way, which he got, first from another guard and then from a page. The designated committee room had an impressive door made from polished mahogany, and inside it had an impressive table made from the same wood. Around the table were seated four people. One was the transcriber. He was in shirt sleeves and had a court reporter machine in front of him. The other three were clearly the Army procurement officer and the Marine Corps procurement officer and the Marine sniper. The two officers were in uniform, and the sniper was in a cheap suit, probably a recon Marine, a Delta wannabe. The officers shook hands, and the sniper gave a millimetric nod, which Reacher returned equally briefly, which, for two alleged snipers, was effusive, and for a dogface and a jarhead meeting for the first time, was practically like rolling around on the floor in an ecstatic bear hug. There was no one else in the room, no political staffers, none of the liaison women. The clock in Reacher's head said the meeting was due to start inside a minute. The clock on the wall was a minute fast, so the meeting was already underway according to Capital Time. But nothing was happening. No one seemed to care. The Marine sniper was mute, and the procurement guys were clearly as happy to waste time sitting quiet as to waste it talking up a storm about a lost cause. The clock ticked. No one spoke. The jarhead stared into space, infinitely still. The officers moved in their chairs and got comfortable. Reacher copied the jarhead. Then, eventually, the staffers came in, followed by three women in Army Class A uniform. Three women, not four. Class A uniform, female officer, the nameplate is adjusted to individual figure differences and centered horizontally on the right side between 1 and 2 inches above the top button of the coat. Reacher scanned the black plastic rectangles. DeWitt, Vaz, and Walker were there. Richardson was not. A and B and D were present, but C was missing. No Christine. The four staffers looked a little upset, and the three women looked very unhappy. They all sat down, in what were clearly their accustomed places, leaving one chair empty. And the guy at the head of the table said,
"Gentlemen, I'm afraid we have some very upsetting news. Earlier today, Colonel Richardson was struck by a car as she was running to work at Scott Circle."
Reacher's first thought was, running? Why? Was she late? But then he understood. Jogging, fitness, shower and dress at the office. He had seen people do that. The guy at the head of the table said,
"The driver of the car is a postal worker from the Capitol mailroom. Eyewitness accounts suggest risks were taken by both parties."
The Army procurement officer asked, "But how is she? How's Christine?"
The guy at the head of the table said,
"She died at the scene."
Silence in the room. The guy said,
"Head trauma. From when she hit the windshield rail or from when she finally fell to the ground."
Silence. No sound in the room, except the patter of the transcriber's machine as he caught up with what had been said. Then even he went quiet. The guy at the head of the table said,
"Accordingly, I suggest we close down this process and resume it at a more suitable time.